worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening today. I invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your creation. Thank you for the beauty and the blessings, the many, many blessings that we find in your creation, the way that you created the world, all the creatures all in it, and all the people that you created in the world as well. Thank you for the wonder of your creation all around us. And thank you for the many ways that you bless us day by day afresh because of your loving kindness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, more and more help us to grow in our appreciation of the fact that you are God, you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. And also thank you for the opportunity for us to learn from you, to learn to use our words as you use your words to build your kingdom, to accomplish your will. Guide us and direct Direct us more and more into this in this way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening today. I want to remind you once again, if you haven't already chosen to be a part of the project we're calling Praying in the Garden, we invite you to get involved. We're inviting a church group or a prayer group to come and be in the Garden of Hope at 100 Parkgate here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The garden is right behind 100 Parkgate. And beautiful garden, a prayer garden there. We'd like to invite your church or prayer group to come, or your family simply to come and select a designated day at 6 o'clock in which you will come and pray in the garden. We're inviting and encouraging you to pray for our nation, to pray for revival and renewal, to pray for the church, to pray for the upcoming election, and any other matters or concerns that are heavy on your mind or your heart. It will be an honor to have you come and be a part of this outreach. Simply give us a call at this number, 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to schedule you. It's been great and exciting to see just a number of churches and groups that have already plugged in and been a part of it thus far during the month of August. And we're continuing it into the month of September as well. So if you didn't get a chance to be a part of it during August, please feel free to get in touch with us. Also, if you were part of one of the churches or groups that came during August, but you want to come again, you are welcome to come. In fact, if you want to come over and over again, you are welcome to do that. So again, if you'd like to call in and take a 6 o'clock slot for any day of the week, 7 days a week, throughout this coming month of September, please give us a call. We'd be honored to have you. And also keep in mind, for those of you that don't live in the Tupelo community, if you want to come from wherever you might live to Tupelo to be a part of this, we would be honored to have you no matter where you live. Again, if you'd like to take one of the 6 o'clock slots, we'd be honored to have you be a part. Once again, that number is 662-844-5036, extension 381, to be a part of the Praying in the Garden project. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of God's creative power for healing. God's creative power for healing. We're going to be sharing from a book by that title, but also we'll be talking about the power in our words. It's important for us to know that based on the Word of God, our words are very, very powerful. Yet sadly, we live in a world where lots of people don't take that serious. In fact, lots of Christians don't take that serious. And you know they don't because of the things sometimes that we say. The fact is, all of us need to be careful of the words we say because our words have power whether we believe it or not. Our words have influence. Our words accomplish things. Words that we speak are a force in the world to be reckoned with. In fact, think of this, as we've shared on a number of occasions on this broadcast, there are at least 7 things you and I can do with God's Word, with the Word of God. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Now, all of those are things you can do with God's Word, the precious Word of God. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Now, in part, we'll be talking today about the importance of speaking the Word of God. But we're talking here about, obviously, using the Word and the words of God. But you know, as we use our words, we can use them to honor God or we can use them to dishonor God, whatever we choose. But it's important that we as believers make it our goal to use our words wisely every day and seek to honor God in the way we use them and put them to use in our lives. Because yes, believe it or not, your words are very, very powerful. In fact, you know, with your words, you can ruin someone's day or you can make someone's day. You can bless people with your words, or you can speak words that can make things hard, make life harder for others. Again, there's great power in your words. You know, as a child, and I'm guessing you probably heard this little saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That may be one of the biggest lies that anyone has ever told. Words can do and have done great damage throughout the history of the world and the history of the church. We need to be careful of the words we use. Our words are powerful. Even if you think to yourself, I don't want my words to be powerful, I just want my words to be neutral, you don't have that option. Your words accomplish something for good or for bad every single day. So it should be our goal to use them to bless people and to bless the world and build the kingdom of God, not to tear people down, to ruin their days, or to make life more difficult. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen again to those words of wisdom and the powerful words found in that one short verse. Again, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Yes, again, whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not, your words and my words are powerful, so we need to use them wisely. One of the reasons why it's so wise for us to read God's word every day is because when you're reading the word of God, your words become God's words, and you and God's word become one in that regard. And when you're reading the word of God, either for yourself or out loud to others, you're blessing others, because when we speak the words of God, your voice becomes the voice of God. If you want to know what does God, if you want to know what God's voice sounds like, well, you read the Bible out loud and you'll hear it. On that day and in that instance, God's voice is going to sound a whole lot like yours, because he'll be speaking through you. God's voice sounds like the one who's reading his word. That's what God's voice sounds like. And so read his word often so you can hear the voice of God often, because his word is his voice. And when you're voicing God's word through your life and through your voice, you're blessing the world. So our words are very, very powerful. So today we're looking, as we've mentioned, seven things you can do with God's word. Again, every day you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Today we'll be focusing on speaking the word of God, but also speaking words that line up with the word of God, words that will bless our lives, words that will encourage, words that will lift us up. So we'll be sharing some from the book entitled God's Creative Power for Healing. Let me share with you why I wanted to share this. In all the years I've lived as a pastor, I've used this as a tool to help people, for example, that have had health struggles. Now, the fact is, we live in a world where lots of people have struggles with health. Remember, God's word has healing power in it. And this booklet is simply a tool that helps you harness the healing power of God's word and use it in your life. Now, keep in mind, it's simply a tool, but it's a tool that you have to put to work. And again, over the years, I've given away I don't know how many of these little booklets, but keep in mind, it's a tool that you have to use. Now, some people have taken it very seriously and put it to use, and they've seen God's healing grace to work in their lives in wonderful ways. But then there were those who took the book and said, thank you, Pastor, and tossed it on the shelf. Well, I can tell you that book didn't do them a bit of good. Because the fact is, it's a tool to be used. In fact, you use the word of God, the Bible speaks of it as being medicine to our bodies as well. And just like medicine that the doctor prescribes, if he gives you a prescription, you go buy the prescription and just leave it in the medicine cabinet, don't do anything with it, it's not going to help you. Well, the word of God is medicine to your body, but like prescription medicine, you have to apply it. You need to take it on a daily basis, and it will bless you if you'll do it. So hope that you listen and learn and grow in your understanding of how to put a tool like this to work in your life. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to share today about the importance of using our words wisely, the importance of putting our words to work in a way that we glorify, please, and honor you, and bless ourselves and bless the world around us. Help us to grow today tremendously in our understanding of the vital place words have in our lives and the great importance of us using our words wisely every single day. Help us to be wise as men and women of God, as fathers and mothers, and as husbands and wives, to grow, help us to grow more and more in our understanding of the need for us to daily put our words to use wisely, to not be flippant and loose with our words, knowing that words are powerful. They accomplish many things every day, for good or for bad, things that honor you or things that dishonor you, depending on how those words are used. Teach us by your Holy Spirit to be wise users of our words today and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Harms with India Partners, and thank you. We have presented to you the need of funding a children's home and orphanage in Southeast India. The fact that we needed to do this rather quickly because of the building codes in India requiring separate orphanages for boys and girls. And so with the land purchased and the site prepared and the permits all procured, All we needed was the funding to actually build the building. And thanks to you, the AFR family, that funding is now in place. We cannot say thank you enough. And what that means is that even before the September 15th deadline, we will be able to break ground, start putting in the foundation, and everything will work just according to plan, in that these boys that were at risk of being put into a government orphanage or an orphanage run by another religion, that's not going to happen. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Want to find out more or still give? Go to AFR.net.
God has allowed me to have many friends who are in various entertainment industries. One of the things that is a common denominator for all of them is that they can't forget their godly upbringing. They remember their days of being at church every time the door opened. But there are a few of them who struggle with using their gifts to build up the kingdom or continuing a secular flow. One of the things that is undeniable is the call of God on your life. No matter where you go or what you do, you will know when God calls you. It's not going to be something that you can deny or argue, or in many cases, even run from. So I'll say this, don't continue to pretend as though you don't feel the tug or hear the call. Answer the call. Doing so will set your eternal destiny on a different course, and you'll be surprised at the peace that comes from giving God a yes. Is He calling you? With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Our country is in trouble. We're in a moral nosedive.
And recovery won't come from a political party. It'll come from returning our focus to God. You can help by being a part of the Decision America Tour.
In 2016, the Decision America Tour will visit all 50 states. At each stop, Franklin Graham will share the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ and challenge Christians to live out biblical principles at home, in public, and at the ballot box.
And I really believe this next election is going to be one of the most critical elections in the history of our country.
Be bold about your faith in Christ. Sign up for your state's prayer team. You can also get friends together to pray for America, our leaders.
And for the Decision America Tour.
If you do, we'll send you a free prayer journal to encourage you in your prayer life. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com.
The only hope for this country is the Church of Jesus Christ.
DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Group Commission, the song Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we'll be sharing from the book entitled God's Creative Power for Healing, a tool that simply helps you take the Word of God and put the healing power of God's Word to work in your life, a book written by Charles Capps. Introduction. Medical science tells us there are many incurable diseases such as some forms of cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and AIDS, just to name a few. The following book presents a supernatural help to all people with incurable diseases. God's Word is supernatural. Mixing faith with God's Word by speaking it out of your mouth is a means of applying God's medicine. The rest is up to the individual as to whether or not they have the confidence to take God's medicine on a regular basis. The purpose of the book is to reveal principles from God's Word and instruct you in how to cooperate with and apply these principles to obtain healing from the Lord. Many today are seeking healing, but yet they talk sickness and suffering until they establish that image in them. Their thoughts and words produce a vivid blueprint, and they live within the bounds and limitations of the blueprint they created. In the following chapters, you'll learn how to make that blueprint line up with the Word of God. Chapter 1, Building Blocks of Life or Death. Your words are building blocks of which you construct your life and your future. Your words set the cornerstones of your life, and you live within the confines of that boundary you create with your own words. Situations, circumstances, and conditions are all subject to change, but with the support of your words, you can establish them in your life forever, whatever they might be. The following article entitled Patient Knows Best appeared in the August 1991 issue of the Reader's Digest. It stated these words, "A person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, good, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next few years, according to new findings. A study of more than 2,800 men and women, 65 and older, found that those who rate their health poor are 4 to 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health excellent. This was the case even if examinations show the respondents to be in comparable health. These findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies, totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions, including to Ellen Eidler, a sociologist at Rutgers University, and an epidemiologist, Stanislav Castle, of Yale University School of Medicine, co-authors of the new study. People have an image of themselves being in poor health, will talk about poor health. They'll talk it up. Even though they may be in good health, they may seem to live out the reality of the image they have of themselves, even to the point of death. This would confirm Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." What you believe and speak not only affects your body, but your immune system as well. Your words become either a blessing or a curse to you. Jesus put it this way, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Luke chapter 6, 40, verse 45. I am convinced from my study of the Word of God that your own words can change your immune system for better or worse. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. The words you speak are vital to your health and well-being. I believe there are some diseases that will never be cured unless people learn to speak the language of health that the body understands. God's word is infused, or in other words, it's engrafted into you by giving voice to his word with your own mouth. And this is the language of health to your body. A continual affirmation of God's word in faith will build into your immune system a supernatural anointing that is capable of eliminating sickness and disease in a natural manner. God's building blocks. Here are a few of many scriptural reasons why I believe this so strongly. Job chapter 22, verse 28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." James chapter 3, verse 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it fills the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, "Whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Isaiah 57, verse 19, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. and I will heal him. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, it says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3, the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Then in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, the Amplified, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Proverbs 16, 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You can see from these few references that God's word has a lot to say about words and their effects on you and your health. Chapter 2, divine healing is a spiritual cure. Medical science aids healing through physical means by administering medicine into the physical body. God's divine healing is spiritual. It is administered through the human spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Psalm 107, verse 20 tells us that God sent his word and healed them. Notice that it didn't say that God sent his word to heal, but he sent his word and healed. God considers it done. God is no respecter of persons, but he does respect faith in his word. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Again, Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. First of all, notice that God's word is life. It is also health, or medicine to all your flesh. God's word will heal your body, but it does it through spiritual means. Healing can be received into the human spirit through the word of God. Once it is conceived there, it permeates the physical body. Just as you would take medicine into your physical body to aid healing by physical means, so you must receive God's word concerning healing into your spirit for supernatural healing. The engrafted word. God's word is perfect spiritual law. Psalm 19, verse 7. It is supernatural medicine. It works through the human spirit and is a spiritual cure, but like any other medicine, it must be applied on a regular basis. You must speak God's word to your individual circumstance or situation. Someone else can't do it for you. James chapter 1, verse 21 admonishes us to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Once the word of God is engrafted into your spirit, it produces results in the body as well. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. John chapter 15, verse 7. When God's word becomes engrafted or infused into your spirit, it has become a part of you. It cannot be separated from you. It's not only your thought and affirmation, it is you, the word made flesh. Then your flesh will reflect the life of that word. When God's word concerning healing takes root in your flesh, it becomes greater than disease, and healing is the result. The image that the word creates in you is already a reality in the spirit realm. When you speak God's word from your heart, then faith gives substance to the promises of God. Your faith frames your word. Your faith frames your world daily. Jesus made it very plain. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. In the first chapter of Genesis, you will notice that every time God spoke, creation took place. Words are the carriers of faith. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Without words, there wouldn't have been any creation. Your words create images, and eventually you will live out the reality of that image. Every time you speak your faith, it creates a stronger image inside you. If it is healing you desire, The healing image is created by God's word in your continual affirmation and agreement with it. Eventually, that image will be perfected by the word of God, and you will begin to see yourself well. When the word is engrafted into you, it infuses its life into you. John chapter 6, verse 63, and Romans 8, verse 11. Faith possesses reality. An example of this is found in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, where the woman with the issue of blood said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole." She continued to speak until she saw herself well. This woman hoped to be healed as she pressed through the crowd. The Amplified Bible says, "For she kept saying, 'If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health.'" That hope was her goal, but she didn't feel healed. She didn't look healed, but she began filling hope with faith-filled words. She said, "I shall be restored to health. I shall be restored to health. I shall be. I shall be." I'm sure her head said, "When? You don't look any better. You are not any better." Then she began to answer human reasoning by being more specific. "When I touch his garment, I shall be restored to health." She was filling her hope with a faith image. She set her own point of contact to receive her healing. Her words penetrated her spirit, and she began to see herself well. That grower's image of despair and defeat had to give way to the faith-filled words that came from her own mouth. When she touched his clothes, her touch of faith made a demand on the covenant of God and the anointing that was upon Jesus Christ. What she was saying was her faith talking. When she acted out what she said and touched his garment, that faith that was in her became the substance of her hope, and her words became a living reality. Faith gives substance to hope. Notice it was her faith that made a demand on the healing anointing that was upon Jesus. Faith gave substance to her hope. Healing and healing was manifested in her body. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, based on Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hope is important, but hope lacks substance until filled with faith. Hope is only a goal setter. Her hope was to be healed, but hope didn't heal her. Faith gave substance to her hope. Her faith gave substance to and brought about the manifestation of healing that was already hers because of the covenant. But she had to call for it. Look at the words of Jesus. "All things are possible to them that believe," Mark 9, verse 23. "If you have faith as a seed, you should say," in Luke 17, 6. "He that believeth hath," John 3, 36. "Whosoever shall say, he shall have," Mark 11, 23 and 24. It is the Bible principle that believing and calling for things that are not yet manifest, those are what are at work here. The words of Jesus ring very clear concerning this matter. "Daughter, your faith has made you whole," Mark 5, 34. Giving voice to your faith in God's word can also make you whole as well. Lord, again, we thank you for the fact that we can take your word and pray your word and speak your word and release the healing power of your grace, the healing power of your word into our lives. More and more, help us to grow in our understanding of how to do that in our lives, in the lives of our families, and helping others as well. We thank you and praise you for that privilege. And Lord, help us to know that your word is powerful all by itself. And as we read and meditate on your word, and as we speak the promises of your word over our lives, more and more we can see the manifestation of your healing grace working in our lives, in our bodies, as a whole. Thank you for that privilege and that blessing. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're sharing from the book entitled God's Creative Power for Healing. And if you have an interest in getting a copy of this book, you can simply call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381, or email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to give you information about how to get the book. Great book, a wonderful tool to learn to put to work the healing power of God's word in your life. We'll be right back.
I'm Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the hour of intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Dr. Tony Evans says sometimes when the heat is on, our faith can flame out. He talks today about one important attitude adjustment that can help us keep our cool as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In your pain, you must develop a God focus. God says in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3, he says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. He says, when you go through the fire, I don't even know if you've seen the stunt guys on television and they wear the stunt suits and when they catch on fire, they're running around like they're burning up. Well, actually, they're not burning up because what they have, they've been covered with a comforter. And the comforter is fire resistant. So while they are on fire, they're not consumed by fire because what's covering them limits the fire. God says he is the God of all comfort. He does not say circumstances won't catch you on fire. He says the God of all comfort will not let you be consumed by the fire that seems to catch you. He is the God of all comfort. No matter what your affliction happens to be, I'm sure on many of your beds at home you have comforters. They're designed to keep you warm on cold nights. Guess what the comforter is designed? It's designed to cover you. It's designed to help you through the cold of the evening. God says, I am the God of all comfort. And that means that your pain, you must allow to drive you to God with a divine focus.
Learn more about how God's comfort and care can be passed along in Dr. Evans' series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Donnie McClurkin, the song Choose to Be Dancing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're sharing from the book entitled God's Creative Power for Healing. I want to remind you again, if you'd like to get a copy or like to get information as to how to get a copy of the book, you can email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Be glad to share with you how you can get the book. And again, it's simply a tool that takes the Word of God, that helps you to take the Word of God and put it to use to release the healing power of God's grace, of God's Word in your life. Again, the tool simply helps you take the Word of God and use it as a tool for healing in your life. So hope that you'll try to get a copy of it so that you can use it not only for yourself, but also if you know someone who's having some health struggles or issues, it's a great tool to put in their hands. Again, a wise way to approach it is you take the book and read the whole book all the way through, and then there's a specific section, pages 24 to 34, that has the specific healing confessions That's the part that they should go through three times a day. And again, read the book through once or twice to understand the biblical truths behind it. But then on a daily basis, three times a day is what the author encourages. Go through the healing confessions three times a day, every day, and put it to work. Use it like medicine, because God's word is medicine. And put it to work in your life in that way. And it's been a wonderful tool. And down through the years, I've used it as a pastor, shared it with lots of folks. Hope you'll do that. So we pick up at chapter 3. God's word is medicine. God's word is spoken of in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, as being medicine to all our flesh. It is the most powerful medicine available today, and it's capable of healing your body without any bad side effects. Psalm 107, verse 20 tells us that God sent his word and healed. According to Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, and 1 Peter 2, 24, healing is a fact as far as God is concerned. It belongs to us because healing is in the atonement. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Our confession of the word of God calls for healing, which is already ours, but is not in manifestation in our bodies. No, I'm not teaching against doctors or medicine, but don't depend on doctors or medicine alone to keep you healthy. There are some diseases that medical science cannot cure. But if you need a doctor, see a doctor. Many lives are saved every year through medical help. There are medicines today that are beneficial in aiding the body's healing process. If you're taking medicine, mix faith with it by saying, I believe I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Man's medicines will not heal you and generally will not keep you from being healed, yet there are some medicines today that have so many side effects that they seem to be worse than the disease. So ask some questions and find out what you're taking. Most medicine will help hold down the symptoms while you're applying God's principles concerning healing and health. I don't advocate that you throw your medicine away and rely on confession alone unless the Lord directs you to do so. It takes time to renew your mind and develop faith in your word as well as faith in your words as well as God's word. But the things you are continually confessing eventually become a part of you. It is true, God has provided healing for us through his word, but we must learn to appropriate that healing by making the word a part of our daily vocabulary. I believe by being taught properly and by practicing your faith, you can grow to a point where it will be a common thing for you to receive healing through the word of God. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to develop your faith. So if you have a life or death situation where the doctors say if you don't have an operation immediately, you will die. In other words, the disease has had a head start on your faith. My advice would be to have the operation and believe God for a quick recovery. Use some common sense and don't do foolish things through spiritual pride and call it faith. It takes time to develop faith to operate in these principles. So don't let anyone put you under condemnation for going to doctors or having an operation. In other words, operate on your level of faith, but don't stay on that level forever. Continue in God's word until you develop faith in the healing power of God's word. God's word is creative power. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Confessing the word of God can also change your world. It can change an image of sickness into an image of healing and health. Operating on these principles isn't easy. It takes discipline and commitment. It's not good enough just to read these confessions. I encourage you to confess the word audibly over your body two or three times a day. Confess it with authority. It is not necessary for you to make these confessions before other people, for the words you speak are for your benefit. Bad news and God's news. Doctors may have told you there's no hope for you medically, but you can always find supernatural hope from God's word. In Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20, it says, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And then in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Returning God's word to him. God declares that his word will not return to him void. We are to return his word by giving voice to it, and he will create the fruit of our lips. Confessing God's word is a way you can fellowship with the Lord and increase your faith at the same time. I challenge you to affirm these scriptural confessions audibly 3 times a day. Don't let it become a hit and miss proposition. Make it a practice to take God's medicine on a regular basis, just as you would any other medicine. Then it will be life to you and health to your flesh. Chapter 4, God's Medicine. And these are scripture confessions to be spoken by mouth 3 times a day until faith comes, then once a day to maintain faith. If circumstances grow worse, double the dosage. There are no harmful side effects. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I'm forgiven and free from sin and guilt. I'm dead to sin and alive unto righteousness in the name of Jesus. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. I'm free from unforgiveness and strife. I forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. For the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree. Therefore, I'm dead to sin and alive unto God, and by his stripes I am healed and made whole. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Romans 6, 11, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pain. Therefore, I give no place to sickness or pain, for God sent his word and healed me. Psalm 107, verse 20. Father, because of your word, I am an overcomer. I overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Father, you have given me abundant life. I receive that life through your word, and it flows to every organ of my body, bringing healing and health. John chapter 10, verse 10, John chapter 6, verse 63. Heavenly Father, I attend to your word. I incline my ears to your sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life and healing to all my flesh. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. As God was with Moses, so is he with me. My eyes are not dim, neither are my natural forces abated. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me. They keep me in all my ways, and my pathway is life, healing, and health. Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11, Proverbs 12, verse 28. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. John chapter 6, verse 63. I'm redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13 is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell of my body, restoring life and health. Mark 11:23, Luke 17:6. The life of 1 Peter 2:24 is a reality in my flesh, restoring every cell of my body. I present my body to God, for it is the temple of the living God. God dwells in me, and his life permeates my spirit, soul, and body, so that I am filled with the fullness of God daily. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 14, verse 20. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I make a demand on my body to release the right chemicals. My body's in perfect chemical balance. My pancreas secretes the proper amount of insulin for life and health. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted your life to me. That life restores my body with every breath I breathe and every word I speak. John chapter 6, verse 63, Mark 11, 23. That which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 2, 24 is engrafted into every fiber of my being, and I'm alive with the life of God. Mark 11, 23, John 6, 63. Jesus bore the curse for me. Therefore, I forbid growths and tumors to inhabit my body. The life of God within me dissolves growths and tumors, and my strength and health is restored. Matthew 16, 19, John 14, 13, Mark 11, 23. Growths and tumors have no right to my body. They are the thing of the past, for I am delivered from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Every organ and tissue of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in my body in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 and 31. Father, your word has become a part of me. It is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell of my body, restoring and transforming my body. Your word has become flesh. For you sent your word and healed me. James 1:21, Psalm 107:20, Proverbs 13:3. Your word is manifest in my body, causing growth to disappear. Arthritis is a thing of the past. I make a demand on my bones and joints to function properly in Jesus' name. Mark 11:23, Matthew 17:20. Heavenly Father, as I give voice to your word, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death, and your life is energizing every cell of my body. Romans 8:12. Arthritis, you must go. Sicknesses must flee. Tumors can't exist in me, for the Spirit of God is upon me and the Word of God is within me. Sickness, fear, and oppression have no power over me, for God's Word is my confession. Mark 11:23. Thank you, Father, that I have a strong heart. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. My blood flows to every cell of my body, restoring life and health abundantly. Proverbs 12:14, chapter 14, verse 30. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. The life of God flows in my blood and cleanses my arteries of all matter that does not pertain to life. Mark 11:23. My heartbeat is normal. My heart beats with the rhythm of life, carrying the life of God throughout my body, restoring life and health abundantly. John 17:23, Ephesians 2:22. And we'll stop there for today. I want to mention once again, the title of the book is entitled God's Creative Power for Healing. Again, it's a tool that helps you take the Word of God and use it for the purpose of healing in your physical body. Now, again, keep in mind, it's a great tool to put in the hands of someone that you know that might be struggling with health issues or just someone that wants to maintain good health. Remember, it helps you take the Word of God and use it and to apply the healing power of God to your body and to your life. Now, remember, God's Word has no bad side effects. Once again, if you'd like to get information about how to get the book, God's Creative Power for Healing by Charles Capps, you can email me at this email address, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Again, it's a wonderful tool, and I've used it down through the years as a pastor to share with persons who've had health struggles. And those that took it seriously, it made all the difference in the world. But remember this as these parting words. Don't be lazy when it comes to spiritual things. It can cost you heavily. It's important to be diligent in spiritual things every day. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been sharing portions of the book, God's Creative Power for Healing by Charles Capps. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.